There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. And a reminder, show's on the road this week, tomorrow and Thursday, live from Washington at the Federation for American Immigration Reform event in Washington. But it's a heck of a week in Washington with everything going on, just the stuff we were talking about in the last hour. Let me introduce y'all, if you've never met him before, to my buddy Cameron Smith, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Actually, I think the last time you and I were hanging out in person was in Washington. It's been too long.
Yes, it has, my friend. But I look, I know it's been a little while, but AL.com had me get some more headshots so you have more fantasy file material.
Lucky for me. All right, send those to me. Yeah, do you think the bars will be packed out tonight after this generals testifying on the Afghanistan withdrawal or the questions about the, you know, how much we're going to spend on this infrastructure and infrastructure sidecar bill or maybe vax mandates? What do you think it'll be like? Will we be busy in the pubs tonight?
Yeah, I'm in a situation right now where I'm looking around to my peers and folks that pay attention to politics, and I'm just sort of like, really? How dumb do they think we are? I mean, at some point, we just need to be like, that thing you said was a lie. That was not true. And you were the guy, and I'm talking about Joe Biden, that said, well, I'm not like Donald Trump. That's literally the entire campaign. And yet we're seeing one thing after another that's just turning out not to be a truth-a-tude. And that's a big deal.
Truth-a-tude. Well, okay, we've identified several of them today. Number one, like the general saying, well, yeah, actually, we did tell them, tell the president to leave troops there. And these are his people. These are people that would be, you know, you think loyal to President Biden, but they're saying that. At the same time, like you said, the 3.5 trillion, okay, and I don't have the audio in front of me, but 3.5 trillion in the infrastructure, air quotes here, infrastructure bill costs zero. It's zero cost. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, we've seen Jen Psaki and others and some liberal commentary folks say, well, guys, there are assorted pay-fors, and some of this is tax credit. So don't really look at it like cost. The cost is actually pretty close to zero, to which I'm like, you guys need to not be in charge of taxpayer dollars if that's the way you look at it. It's like me going to McDonald's and saying, I'm giving you money for my cheeseburger, so the cheeseburger is free. I mean, that's insane. And that's what they're trying to sell us is, well, it's not really $3.5 trillion. It absolutely is an insane amount of spending. And let me tell you the biggest lie in Washington. It's called the budget window. So when they quote unquote score these things and tell you, well, this is how much it costs, and here's the pay-fors and the revenues, don't worry about it. You know what they do? They front load all the spending, and spending almost always happens. But when it comes to that revenue side, taxes, you know, enforcement, other vague generalities, you know, for some reason, that revenue side doesn't usually come in. And so that's the big lie in all of this is, well, we're going to spend this money, but don't worry, the revenues to pay for it will come back in, you know, over the 10-year budget window. And that's like almost always false. And that's something that Americans should know and frankly, be upset about.
No, that's a good lesson. You spent a lot of time in Washington and could teach us this. So when we see a bill that comes out and it says, all right, well, here's what we're going to spend, but here's how we're going to pay for it. So the spending is done, but the, I guess, yeah, I'm guilty. I've never gone back and checked in with, you know, the, I mean, wasn't it, we're going to pay for the Affordable Care Act by cracking down on doctors and companies bilking Medicaid and Medicare. Wasn't that going to be the fraud was going to pay for that?
Yes. Waste, fraud, and abuse is a great pay for, because it's always like, if we just collect what's actually owed, or we stop people from defrauding the government, we'll have more money. Well, that's true. But if it were easy to do, we would have already done it. And the idea that, oh, well, the favorite one of the Democrats is we're going to soak the rich. Mm-hmm. We're going to repeal the Republican tax hikes. We'll take those away and we'll generate a lot more revenue, and that'll happen. So we're going to spend this money, but don't worry, we're going to do that other thing. And then it doesn't get done. So the revenues don't come in the door, but we've already spent the money. That happens all the time. And frankly, it's not just Democrats that are guilty. Republicans do it too. They say, well, we'll offset these tax cuts with spending reductions, and then it comes time to spend less, and they're like, no. And this is a routine problem. It's why we have so much debt.
This is a good insight how we crawl into this, because I'm guilty. Like I said a second ago, I've not gone back and looked at, did they come through? So what happens? So that's, that never gets done. If it's in a bill, isn't there some enforcement or something that would make them do that if it's in the bill as the pay for?
Well, think about it this way. So you can do, like, let's say I spend $1 trillion and I raise taxes $1 trillion. But what I do is I say, well, these tax hikes will phase in, right? So I use the Affordable Care Act as a great example. We're going to spend this money with the Affordable Care Act, but this medical device tax, this Cadillac insurance tax, this other tax, all of those things will pay for it. Well, what happens is you repeal the tax hikes as you go along. So the taxes are all in there initially, and if you just left them alone, sure, that's what would happen. And that's the reason that independent scoring, like the Congressional Budget Office and folks like that, say, oh, yeah, this will offset these expenditures. But then Congress comes back in and says, well, you know what? We don't like that tax. That tax is unfair, punitive, and it hurts innovation. So they repeal the tax. Well, now your revenue model is totally sunk. And this is the great evil bargain between Republicans and Democrats that ends up messing us over. Democrats love to spend, and Republicans kind of reluctantly go along with it. Democrats love to tax, and so Republicans come in and try to kill all the tax hikes, but they don't kill the spending. And so you got to have – it's a basic math equation that guys in Congress just miss. And they say, well, it doesn't matter. I got what I wanted, so what happens to the country isn't important.
And here we sit with $28 trillion in debt.
Yeah, and what's a few 10 more trillion between friends? I mean, that's on our kids. But because we don't want to raise taxes, because, good conservatives don't do that, you know what the answer is? You have to radically cut spending.
Yep.
Radically.
It's never going to happen. It's not going to happen.
And we're like, no, we don't want to cut spending either. And it's because we're not serious people.
Well, okay, we'll get back on track on the news of the day, but you're bringing up something. I mean, this is one thing that I used to rail against President Bush for, Jr. Ryan and I talked about this all the time, and I said he was talking about cutting taxes all the time, but he was talking like a Republican, but he's spending money like a Democrat, and I asked how that was going to work. And then this idea that when they're negotiating something, a bill, a spending bill in Congress, instead of it being, you're not going to get that, and I guess I'm not going to get this thing I want. It's never that. It's like, okay, well, you want to get that thing added to the bill, then I'm going to get something added to the bill. It's never subtraction. It's always addition. And part of compromise can be subtraction too, right? But it doesn't seem to be that way in Washington.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to take away things. I'm giving you your tax credits. I'm giving you stimulus. Here's some bridges, all the goodies. Well, the real answer there that no one likes is you want to give out all those goodies, you got to get them from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to tax if you want to pay for that stuff. And that's just reality. So the answer for a conservative is, man, we really need to tighten up spending before we play on the tax side. And so many conservatives are like, well, I want to cut taxes, but dang, I don't want to cut any stimulus or anything like that. That feels good.
Yeah, and that's the problem. But you would think the two parties opposing each other, if they're, well, fantasy world, would work on subtraction, they could do that. They could say, Republicans could say, there's no way. Y'all are not expanding this, whatever this is, this, kindergartners driving electric cars subsidy. You know, you're not going to do this. And they'd say, well, then you're not going to get that, additional whatever military device or whatever. And they'd say, okay, we both don't get something. And it comes down. But in my lifetime, it doesn't seem like it's ever worked that way.
Yeah. And what's funny is Republicans actually make fun of Democrats for being consistent. Democrats are, we call them tax and spend liberals. Well, yeah, they love to take your money and spend it on other stuff. Like, that's absolutely true, but they're pretty consistent with a willingness to take your money. What we are is just spend happy. Republicans tend to be like, we are spend and spend conservatives because we don't actually want, we're spend and borrow conservatives because we would rather borrow and spend than actually raise the revenue to cover our spending, because in a normal world, that would be like, for Democrats, when they try to do crazy spending and crazy taxes, they lose, right? Like, people are like, that's insane. No, we don't like that. But it's at least consistent, and that's accountability measure. What Republicans do is they say, well, we're going to borrow and spend and fight for low taxes, and that way you guys don't really hold us accountable, and it's a huge problem.
And we'll get into some of that in just a second, I know, and it's part of your latest op-ed opinion piece over at AL.com. But before we do, let's talk about spending money. So you got the special session called in Montgomery right now. We've got, I said this earlier to Representative Chip Brown, and it wasn't specified to him as much as it is to anybody in the legislature. After all these years of watching the fits and starts and more stops of a prison plan in Alabama, it seems interesting to me that we now have a bill that's, and I'm air quoting here, that's workable, that will get done. At the same time, we have the ability to get $400 million out of the COVID relief fund. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, or the Recovery Act money. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it seems like it is a catalyst for getting this done. You know, they're talking about how we've come to a point, we know we got to do something and all these different things, but I wonder how much of a difference of having this a big check into the mix is for getting something done. They're agreeing because there's some extra money.
Yeah, and I think that that's been the issue all along, because prisons and prison expansion is a political loser for everybody, right? Like, there's nobody that gets excited about, man, you took taxpayer dollars and borrowed some money and made some prisons. Like, prisoners appreciate that because it makes their quality of life better. But pretty much everybody else is like, this isn't great. So having a chunk of change that's very significant that can offset some of that cost is a big deal for legislators. But the problem right now is you have Democrats who, you know, may say, we don't want to play ball. And you got a lot of Republicans saying, why do we want to deal with this? And I think that's the threat to a prison deal actually happening, is that you sort of get the ultra conservatives who say, we don't want to spend any more money on this stuff. You know, let the federal government sue us and, you know, we'll figure it out. And then we have political cover. And then the Democrats saying, we don't want to play ball with Republicans.
Well, okay. And now you've got House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler sent a letter to the Treasury Department. So Treasury gave the state a green light on using this. So he's now sent a letter to Yellen asking her to stop Alabama from misusing a portion of the state's American Rescue Plan Act allocation. So that comes out. And then this story, this is just about an hour old, if that. If we can find it, Governor Ivey has come out, said now, so she's blasting Nadler, says story from Dylan Smith over Yellowhammer, said U.S. Representative Jerry Nadler on Monday sent a letter to the Treasury Department Secretary Janet Yellen seeking to prevent the state of Alabama from using the ARP funds being appropriated. Ivy last week announced her proclamation calling for a special session. Okay, this prompted Nadler's letter. Now it goes on here. Ivy took exception to Nadler's singling out her intention to use ARP funds to improve the state's prison infrastructure, calling out the Manhattan-based congressman for his attempts to derail Alabama-driven prison plan. She says, the Democrat-controlled federal government has never had an issue with throwing trillions of dollars towards their ideological pet projects. Their political agenda is glaringly obvious, to send a letter to the U.S. Treasury on the first day of our special session, asking the federal government to ignore the laws they themselves wrote and overstep our Alabama-driven plan. That's just a little bit of what the governor had to say. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the issue, frankly. I blame Nadler and Congress for not having clearer instructions on what to do with the money. I mean, this was a money bomb that got thrown all over the place. And frankly, most states actually had challenges figuring out how to use it related to COVID. I mean, they just did. So they said, well, we can use it for a revenue offset. Well, the economy didn't take as much of a hit. So, you know, how do we deal with this? And this is on Congress just saying, here's some money. And then in retrospect being like, but that's not what we wanted you to do with it. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Right. So, they're using it. That's what people need to understand. And you know, people in Alabama that are against this are saying that's shameful. They're using it for this. Other states are using it for all kinds of things that aren't direct COVID relief. Now, you can say the whole thing is a mess. Yes. But I think we have a leg to stand on inside this mess.
Yeah. And I think the issue is, does Alabama have the ability to spend these funds on prisons? I think the answer is probably yes. The bigger issue is, and Nadler's pointing out, well, this is a giant incarceration project, which he's not necessarily wrong about that. And the question is, has Alabama done enough to deal with the underlying symptoms that led to prisons being a problem? I mean, is it the case that we're there or not?
Yeah, one of the problems is it's the same federal government that is bringing the receivership, possibly, like you just mentioned. I mean, that's, which one?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the issue here is that the lawsuits are going to be ongoing. And the issue that the federal government, people don't have a right picture of this. This is litigation, right? They sue and they say, okay, DOJ says you're violating the civil rights of these prisoners. These are, you know, unsafe, unsanitary conditions. And so we're going to sue you. Well, that litigation happens. And then a judge basically orders the state to make the changes. And if the state is reluctant, you can have a special master or somebody appointed that makes the calls and makes the decision. And then it's on the state to pony up the dollars to make it right. And the thing that is interesting from a political perspective is I think there's plenty of Republicans that say, look, the federal government doesn't want to take over Alabama prisons. It's a complete crap show right now. And so they're saying, well, if they're going to do that, they're going to find an efficient way to deal with it. And we got political cover at that point by saying we're forced by a federal judge to do it as opposed to basically dealing with a terrible issue on our own. Maybe a little lazy, but it's not an irrational position to take.
All right. Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have my friend Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation here. Okay, let me do this one before we go to the news here. So a texter says here, unnamed texter, nobody is talking. I love it when nobody is talking about. Nobody is talking about what else this money could be used for if not for building prisons. So why aren't we spending on something else?
Well, because you need creative leadership who can tell you, hey, we got these resources. What's our greatest need? And let's prioritize. At least Kay Ivey is picking a target and saying, hey, this is where we can use that money. We need a lot of it to do this one thing. And here's why. I mean, if somebody else puts a plan on the table and says, you know, you're wrong. We actually need, you know, this new road system or, you know, this new education. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do, but that requires leadership to do the legwork, to put a project on the table that people can see viable alternatives. Plenty of people talk, but very few people do the work.
Yeah, but this is, I'm sorry, y'all, but I got to go back to this. I guess people, and we've only been talking about it for 8 years on the show, but if we do not solve this problem, and I know I seem like Chicken Little because I've been talking about it for so long, but I've watched what happened in Alabama in the 70s, what happened in California in the 90s. If they have to, and it looks like they're pretty close to it, they take receivership of our prison system, like Cameron was just saying. They then decide how we need to fix it, building new prisons, doing all these different plans. Yet we, the state of Alabama, have to cut the check to pay for it. We don't decide what it looks like. They decide what it looks like. And we, the taxpayers of Alabama, have to pay for it at that point. This is not a made-up fantasy. This is what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, they can tell you, you must reduce your prison population by 30,000 people. That's, you know, California faced that.
Yep.
I mean, this is normal. They say you pick who gets out, but you've got to accomplish this objective. That's going to happen. And frankly, I think there's some in the political class that are like, okay, at least that way we can say it's not our fault when we have to deal with some of this stuff.
But it's, you're right. I see the political cover in it, but it's so bad for our state to have that happen.
Yeah, but politicians, a lot of them are lazy, and they don't want to. If they can blame Joe Biden and say, crazy Joe Biden has come in here and made us release prisoners, so we're going to do these reforms, and we got to spend some money we didn't want to spend, and it's all his fault, that's way better than just doing it on your own, because letting prisoners out, if you do prison reform and release some more people or building prisons, you don't get much juice for that.
Gosh. All right, coming right back. More with Cameron Smith right here on Midday Mobile. By the way, if you got a second here during the news, now we go download our app. It's waiting for you. It's free. Just look for FMTALK1065 at the App Store, Apple App Store, or if you're an Android user, Google Play. Check it out. Get the new app. You're going to love it.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 135 FM Talk 1065. And let's continue our conversation. Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. At latest opinion piece, you can check this out by going to AL.com or Cameron. I mean, they could also go to your Twitter feed and find it as well.
Sure. Go to at D Cameron Smith and... Man, I love getting some folks arguing about things, so let's do it.
Yeah, well, you've set the smoke grenade off here with this headline. Your feelings aren't as important as America's future. Now, explain this to us.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is really a love letter to Republicans in saying, okay, guys, did y'all see what happened with Mike Lindell and John Merrill? I mean, Mike Lindell comes in, John Merrill sort of says, oh, yay. He says, we have a very secure election system. This is all fun. Until Lindell says, actually, deep in the well, 100,000 votes in Alabama were flipped and every county was affected. To which John Merrill said, that is categorically false. There's no way that happened. Zero chance. And Mike Lindell's response was, but I'm coming back and I'm going to meet with probate judges and we're going to investigate further. At some point, we got to stop this crap. I mean, Arizona, the cyber ninjas, they're called cyber ninjas. This was as partisan a review of Maricopa County as you could find. And they found that Joe Biden actually won by a bigger margin. And we're still relitigating the 2020 election, and it's a huge problem.
I think it is a problem, but help me with something here, because as we talk about this, okay, first of all, we'll take Alabama, then we'll go to Maricopa County. In Alabama, I said, you know, look at what – this is John Merrill, super Republican, you know, that does this and says this was all in the up and up. And what I get from people is they respond to me, well, you and John Merrill just don't understand. And then they go into this stuff that it really is like – it's Byzantine how they're explaining it, and I'm left scratching my head how I'm missing out. But I mean, that there's this thing that we don't understand. There's like, it's okay, one day you'll understand. We understand it, but you don't understand it. The deep flip flop or whatever it is. Any explanation of what this idea? I mean, what does it come to?
Well, maybe you're just being an idiot.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, here's the deal: is that this is let's say deer season's coming up, bow season in October, and we're going to go hunt the great aqua tail deer. It is out there, the aqua tail. It's like a white tail, but it's more like a white cap because it's out in the Gulf of Mexico. So we're going to get our bows, get on your boat, and we're going to go out there until we find it.
I've never seen one of these before.
But how do you know it doesn't exist just because you haven't seen it? I mean, and so we can play this game, Sean, where we just ask questions after questions about after questions. I mean, and we can do it about literally anything. You know, I can say, well, I don't know that your mom's not a hooker. I've never seen her not hooking, but I've never seen her hooking. I mean, we can do this with literally any topic we want to. And because we just ask the questions, cast doubt, which asking the questions isn't a problem in the sense of, okay, we think this audit in Maricopa County needed to happen because we needed to get to the bottom of it. And we did. And Trump lost. I mean,
yeah, but then the people tell me that they didn't ask the right questions. They were just recounting the votes. What did they expect to happen? That they didn't ask the right questions or look at the right documents or the online.
Right. And to my point is that, like, you guys are weird and sound like Democrats. Stop it. I mean, because this happened with the whole Clinton thing. It was like, well, Hillary Clinton couldn't lost to the likes of Donald Trump. He hawked steaks in a catalog. Like, no way she could have lost to him. So it must have been something evil. And they did that, right? They're still kind of like flirting with it. And it's weird, right? And at this point, let me tell you, Donald Trump is not coming back.
Right.
Unless he wins another election. So move on. You can be mad at me. You can boo me. You can say, well, Cameron, you don't understand. And my point is, we need to win in the midterms. We need to win in the next presidential election cycle to correct some of the crazy places we're going. Joe Biden has succeeded at one thing. That is not being Donald Trump. And so the idea that we're still making it about Trump, that we're still thinking Trump's going to come rescue us, is absolutely ridiculous, because he lost to Joe Biden. And he's going to potentially lose to him again if we think he's going to be our savior, because he'll be as old as Joe Biden was when Joe Biden won. Come on, people.
You write also, even as to move to the next one here, even as conservatives rightly push back on health care mandates issued without due process of law, it's a terrible idea to arbitrarily reject an incredibly low-risk health intervention with the potential to protect your life and possibly somebody else's. So are you saying you're for mandates on vaccines?
No, I'm saying I'm against the mandates and the government sort of pushing it, with particularly without due process. But what I am not saying is that I'm anti-vaccine. In fact, we've had, and I use the contrast here, because so many Republican leaders, in fact, all of the ones I can think of, has said, go get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this will help us get back to normal faster than we otherwise would. And they're all kind of on message. And so you have some folks that
booed.
Are like,
they get booed for that, right?
I mean, but they're saying it, yes. Yeah. And some do. But you basically have your hardened anti-vax people who are just like, no, I don't want to. It was just fine. But it is a relative minority of the population. On the other hand, with this election stuff, there are still people like playing relative garbage, like, well, no, the election's over. But no, I'm just kidding. Like Mo Brooks at that, you know, town hall with Trump or the Trump rally, where they said, hey, we need to move on. And then it got booed. And then we're like, well, but we need to get to the bottom of it. And my point is, Mo is right that we needed to move on, that we need to win, rather than saying, well, everything's unfair, because I'm telling you, that's going to keep a lot of people at home if they believe there's no way Republicans are going to get a fair shake in the election. They'll say there's no point in even showing up, and that will kill Republicans.
You know, and in the intervening period, I wish Lindell was, although it would be frightening, but he was correct, and I could come on here and just say the same thing he says and just get pats on the back and rah, rah, rahs. But it's number one, I don't believe it's true. And number two, like you said, this is what we're exercising ourselves about, and not getting ready to win in the midterms and get ready to win the next presidential cycle. I mean, you make good points.
Yeah, and John Merrill handled this really well. I mean, John said, this is somebody that a lot of voters in Alabama, you know, they know this guy, and they kind of, you know, want me to meet with him and talk to him. But he told him the truth. He said, no, everything that you're saying is not true, and was unmistakable about that. But the problem is, Lindell basically denies reality. When Merrill, who's in charge of Alabama's election, says, guys, the technology you're saying was manipulated doesn't even exist on our machines, then the answer is, oh, I guess we're wrong. Thank you for informing us. Not, well, I'm going to talk to probate judges and do our own research, because the matter is over when the guy in charge says, here's the truth. Because if you choose to reject it beyond that, you're just in fantasy la-la land. And I hate that for Lindell, but that's where he is.
Why is he? What's your sense? Why does he do this?
I think he's got a conclusion that he desperately wants to prove. I wasn't joking about the aqua-tailed deer. Man, if I thought there was a deer that's just been swimming out there in the Gulf of Mexico for years, and it is a big old buck, then by all means, I'd want to go get it. And I think Lindell has convinced himself this was a manipulated, stolen election, and now I got to prove it. And that's just a rough place to be in.
Well, I can say the problem is that there's reason to believe this was not on the up and up. You know, you get these stories here, get stories there, or even the question, which I think is more pertinent, that states changed the rules at the last minute, which definitely benefited Democrats, right? I mean, but that was in the light of day.
And I'm fine. And I'm fine with those critiques and saying, well, this was a weird election cycle. It was, unmistakably. The rules were changed, and we've litigated a lot of that stuff. And you know what? States have even looked at this and said, we're going to change our laws so that the next election is more secure, and we used our democratic processes to do that. I support all of that. Absolutely. But the notion of, oh, well, this, regardless of any evidence to the contrary, this is the conclusion, and it doesn't matter what reality says, is a terrible place to be, and we cannot be conservatives like that. We have to go based on reality, and when something hits us in the face, we need to respond to it and say, reality isn't what we like, but it's still reality, and I'm going to respond to that, not just my feelings.
You know, in your opinion piece, you lay out some winners, and I agree with you. You say, make the midterm elections about Afghanistan. Ding, ding, ding. I agree. Immigration, holy cow. Could we have a bigger case to make as conservatives? I'll add to that. And the economy. Those, you said that's a winning formula for Republicans against Democrats with slim majorities. I sign on to that. I think that is a plan. We need to be talking about those things.
Yeah, I mean, inflation is real. People are feeling it. I went into Five Guys the other day, and outside the door, it said $18 an hour to work at Five Guys. I mean, inflation is real, and it's happening on Biden's watch. His plan is talk about Trump, make it about Trump, make it about the anti-vax people, make it about lots of federal spending, and that's the playbook. That's how he wins. And if we play into that, we're going to have a president who literally his success is not being Trump, will continue. And I don't want that to happen. So I'm not against conservatives. I'm just saying the recipe that I'm seeing from some folks that's like, Trump needs to do it again. We need Trump to run again. We need to focus on Trump and how he was wrong is wrong. It's just a dumb idea. Ron DeSantis is sitting out there. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. I mean, we have so many people that could crush Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And all we got to do is point out they're not very good at governing. And then have reasonable people on the ballot. It's not a hard formula, but if we keep playing these weird games and crazy conspiracy stuff, we're going to lose, and I don't want that.
Well, okay. I still may, and the people you talked about, like DeSantis, I think he's a star, but I also think this is, it's a long time between now and 2024, but I still think it's former President Trump who will be the candidate. But yes, to be weighed down and all this other stuff, let President Trump, former President Trump, go down the immigration. Just talk immigration for a second. Talk the economy. I mean, you know, talk Afghanistan. He can win with that. You know, whether it doesn't have to be DeSantis or Haley as a vessel for it. I think if there's some discipline of message, he could carry that same message.
Yeah, which is why I absolutely disagree with you. Because he has no discipline of message. And we know that. He's talking about, well, maybe Mitt Romney, you know, beat Barack Obama. How do we know? I'm like, dude, you're talking about the weird stuff. He talks about himself. He talks about the stolen election. He doesn't have the ability. So I'll use DeSantis as an example. He has the ability to hit Afghanistan, hit immigration, hit government overreach, and do it in a way that people liked from Trump. Trump does not have any ability to have any discipline whatsoever, which is why he lost to the worst candidate that we've seen on the presidential stage in my lifetime. And that's what people need to be accepting rather than saying, well, actually, he didn't lose, so we're going to recycle a loser. And I know that's controversial, but it shouldn't be.
Okay. Well, the text line's full of people that disagree, so tell them where to go online to continue this conversation.
Go to @DCameronSmith and bring the fire. I want to hear it.
All right. Y'all do it over on Twitter. And as always, man, I appreciate our conversations. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There he is, Cameron Smith, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'll just throw this into the mix. My buddy Angelo is going to come on here in just a second. But from the text line, so some people, as usual, upset with Cameron Smith. But also, there's a lot of people say on here they're on board. Unnamed texter, first time I fully agreed with Cam. Another unnamed texter says, Trump has been become the cult of personality. Too much of the middle do not like him personally, so they'll never agree with him, even if his policies are good for the country. Now, this thing's locking up again. This is killing me here. So it says, we conservatives truly do need to move on from Trump. Your guest is correct that Ron DeSantis would absolutely smoke Joe Biden, but we do have to focus on 2022 first. All right, so there's on the text line. Hey, let's talk to Angelo, Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So gold and silver prices, where are we right now?
They've actually started to recover a little bit, and it's been very strange. They're dipping in overnight trading, but the real-world pricing on that doesn't really seem to change. So overnight prices dip down to about 22.10, but then they recover right back up in the mornings. But if you're, you know, a night owl or just an insomniac like me, can't sleep, get up in the middle of the night and check out those prices. When they hit a number, all of those wholesalers just add the difference back into it. So it's almost like nothing real is going on out there. Been sort of crazy, Sean.
All right. So how do we navigate that? I mean, what are you telling folks to do?
Well, for one thing, you know, if all of a sudden silver crashed out and bottomed out at $20 an ounce or $18 an ounce, the supplies are going to dry up. The premiums are going to go up again. So my suggestion is don't try to buy on the absolute very bottom because you're going to miss that one out. But it's the lowest it's been in quite some time. The premiums are still good. Our supplies are still good. So, you know, come in over the if you want to get a chunk of silver, come in over the next few weeks. Buy a little every week. Maybe come in Monday 1 week, come in Wednesday the next week. Vary it up a little bit. What day you come in and cost average your purchase out over a few weeks, and that'll take the advantage of everything.
All right. So, and we get that advice. What I love is we get the education and advice on this. And we got the selection, like you said, of those precious metals to buy, plus a whole bunch of other great gift items and collectibles. So tell folks how to find you in the real world and your great online presence.
Yeah, in the real world, Midtown, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. And if you want to hear us, listen to us every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, talking about coins and gold and silver and all that stuff, Tuesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. If you missed that, twoguysandsomechange.com, and that's spelled out, T-W-O, guys and some change.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, buddy.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let me give you an update here, too. So we know thunderstorms have been coming through kind of throughout the early morning on through, looks like this evening. Looking at right here at the coming across the state line, and this is affecting these storms coming out of Mississippi, coming into Alabama. Just got a notice here from the National Weather Service. And so for my there it comes up from our Washington County people here and East Mississippi. Special weather statement issued for Chatham, Bucketana, which is in Mississippi, and Vinegar Bend in Alabama until 2:45. We've got a it goes till two. Okay, so we're still up for another hour here. That a severe thunderstorm with wind possibly up to 40 miles per hour, hail. And lightning could be part of this thunderstorm. So that's, pretty much the running up Highway 45 and going east and north from there. So like Bucketana going northeast and like Yellow Pine going northeast there, Fruitdale and Vinegar Bend, all that right there that's going to be under this severe thunderstorm watch here, or warning, I'm sorry, not watch. So that is that goes till 2:45 today, and we could have more of these as we go on through. Some of these cells here, looking at the radar, are pretty deep red, and some purple in the one they're talking about that's heading towards the affected area we just discussed. So keep your heads on a swivel out there. All right, I hope I have time because I don't know that I'll be able to get this story in the mix when I'm sitting there with all the muckety mucks up in Washington. So we'll get this one quickly here. It's just to tell. It's to tell Chinese men to butch up. Story comes from VOAnews.com. Says, macho men are in and effeminate male performers are out as Beijing expands its crackdown on China's entertainment industry, blaming the rise of unmanly men on U.S. influence. Okay. Says, male celebrities, even top moneymakers, are changing their images seemingly overnight now that China's National Radio and TV Administration and other government agencies have made it clear that men who can be described as Niang Pao, is that right? I don't speak Chinese. Niang Pao, a derogatory term for effeminate men. I probably just said something horrible in Chinese, are no longer suitable role models. New government controls call for broadcasters. Get this. We're talking about it not being one world. New government controls call for broadcasters to enforce a correct beauty standard and stop booking male celebrities who fail to meet manly criteria. Yeah. Says Hwang Zi-tao once belonged to the South Korean boy band EXO, which performs in Korean, Mandarin, and Japanese. Now without eye makeup or earrings, the Chinese singer has posted shirtless gym rat selfies showing off his muscles on social media to butch it up. Okay, there's a lot more to the story. I'll pop it up on the Twitter feed. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow live from Washington. Big thank you to Mike Ward's Liberty Safes for making this trip possible. And Jeff and I'll talk to you then. Have a good one.